Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we invite you to come and join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. We meet in person at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. But I know many of you can't come in person, but we can live stream. You can live stream. You can live stream at 9 a.m. And you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com and click on the link for the live stream and join us. We've been doing a series on the miracles for you in 2022. Who needs a miracle? Last week, if you were listening to the program, we began looking at a miracle that was recorded by all four of the gospel writers. It's the feeding of the 5,000 men. I say 5,000 men because it was 5,000 men plus women and children. Some scholars believe it was up to 20,000. I don't know. You put your number in, 10,000, 15,000, 20,000. When I read scripture, I find it really helpful if I try to put myself in the story. And I would encourage you to put yourself in this story today. Where are you in a crowd of 15,000 people? Are you one of the disciples that have been following Jesus for some time and you've already watched some of the wonderful and powerful miracles performed by Jesus? Just imagine being with Jesus as he turned water into wine. He healed the sick son of the royal official, or told the man who had been paralyzed for 38 years to get up, to pick up his mat and walk. Which miracle of those we've been looking at has touched you the most? Maybe you're in the crowd today looking to Jesus to perform a miracle for you. Maybe you are in a crowd as a skeptic, or maybe you're just a little cynical or condescending. Maybe you're listening today because you don't even believe in miracles. Maybe you're just following the crowd going up to Jerusalem, and you really don't know who this Jesus character is. Where are you in the story? What if you are the little boy who had two fish and five barley loaves? Well, before we turn to God's word for us today, let us come to Jesus, the true miracle worker in our lives, in a moment of prayer. Lord Jesus, you call us to come and follow you. We just don't know where or how to follow. You call us to simply trust. Trust you and walk with you day by day. Help us today and every day to trust you. Help us to walk with eyes wide open and hearts ready to serve you. Amen. Grab your Bible. We're in John chapter 6, 1 through 15. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed with the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and he saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will that go among so many? Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed those to who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus had done, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who has come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Well, last week we looked at Philip's performance. I'd encourage you to go listen to last week's program. You can always go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship, listen to the performances. Last week, we looked at the performance of Philip. Jesus asked him one simple question: where shall we buy bread for those people to eat? Of course, we are told that Jesus did this to test Philip. We know that Philip failed the test because he trusted in his own abilities instead of turning to Jesus and saying, "Hey, Jesus, you're the miracle man. Can you feed these people?" How often do we rely on our own strength, our own wisdom, our own abilities, our own education, our own finances, our own powers? Do you see that? It's all about us, and we forget to trust the miracle man. We also looked at Andrew's accountability. We can learn from Andrew. He knew he did not have the gifts or ability to feed the people, but he went and found someone who did. And Andrew was not concerned about who's going to get the credit. Maybe a good so what at this time is, how can I be an Andrew? How can you be an Andrew? Who can you find with the gifts that are needed to build the kingdom, and how can you bring them to Jesus? And we talked about the lad with his lunch. All the lad had was 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, yet he came to Jesus and gave what he had. Can you imagine how insignificant that little lunch of 5 barley loaves and 2 pickled fish really were? It was as insignificant as the boy was. I think a good so what point in this story is that it does not matter how insignificant, unimportant, irrelevant, inconsequential, or insufficient you feel. It does not matter how insignificant, unimportant, irrelevant, inconsequential, and insufficient the gifts you have. The so what of this story is, with insufficient things from our hands of insignificant people can become sufficient and significant when placed in the hands of Jesus. Have you ever just told Jesus, "Jesus, this is all I have, but it's yours"? Maybe this is a good place right now. Maybe you're listening right now. Open up your hands and say, "Jesus, whatever I have, I give it to you." Give your life to Jesus right now. Give your heart to Jesus right now. Give your troubles, give your fears, give your doubts, give your shame, give your guilt. Give it to Jesus right now. What is Jesus asking of you today? Let me say that again. What is Jesus asking of you today? There's a crisis in the crowd. Remember, the story of the feeding of the 5,000 is the only story told by all 4 gospel writers. Why? What fascinated me this week as I was preparing this message is found in verse 2. "And the great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed with the sick." And I wondered out loud, why am I following Jesus? Why are you following Jesus? Why do we come to church on Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? Is it to listen to the music? Is it to have fellowship with others? Is it to hear a message? Are you looking for a miracle? Why do you follow Jesus? I need to tell you that there are weeks when I sit down on Saturday after a long week of studying and ministry and I go over my message. I begin to wonder, why do I do what I do? What good am I doing? Is this really what God wants me to do? The crowds gathered around Jesus. Can you imagine what a crowd of 5,000 men plus women and children look like? Think of a sporting event with 15,000 to 20,000 people. Instead of standing in line at the concession stand waiting for your delicious fast food, Jesus takes what 8 months' wages of couldn't buy and what amounted to and feeds the large crowd. Jesus feeds the 15 to 20,000 people with five small barley loaves and two fish. Okay, rewind. Think of what you make in a month. Multiply it times eight. Maybe you make $2,000 a month, or $3,000 a month, or $4,000 a month. Well, that translates into $16,000 or $32,000. Instead, Jesus takes five small barley loaves and two small fish, gives thanks to God, and divides them up. Here's something really interesting. The Greek word for give thanks is eucharistio. We get the Eucharist out of that. We get the word Eucharist. Eucharist means thanksgiving. It's why we call communion, when we celebrate communion, the great thanksgiving. We take the bread, we give thanks, we divide it among those that are gathered. Did you ever think the Eucharistio, the great thanksgiving, is a miracle? The body of Christ broken for us, the blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of our sins? Could it be that Jesus is trying to say to those of us who are actively searching, take the bread. I am the bread of life. Give thanks and share freely. Take the cup. I give you living water and you'll never thirst ever, ever again. I am more than enough. I believe that Jesus wanted the disciples to find something other than the world's ways to meet their needs. Let me say that again. I think this story is recorded by all four of the gospel writers because Jesus wanted the disciples to find something other than the world's ways to meet their needs. Are you in the crowd? Jesus wants to show us that when we believe, He's more than enough. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we would love to have our prayer team pray with you. If you want to have a prayer, you can send it either to Pastor Dave at theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon, and our prayer team will pray for you. Do you find that Jesus is more than enough? I believe that Jesus wants us to find something other than the world's ways to meet our needs. All three of my years of seminary, our money situation was very, very tight. My first year, we had a daughter in college, and our son and our youngest daughter were in high school. By the time I graduated, we had three of the five of us in college and one graduating high school. Seminary was our family's first taste of a loss of money. Or a loss of income, I would say, as I was going to school full-time and I was not working full-time. That was back when you had to go to the seminary. It wasn't when you could do online courses. My wife, Jacqueline, was now the major bread earner for our family of five, working two part-time jobs on top of her full-time job of directing and teaching a preschool. Our lives had been financially turned upside down. I can remember the night as if it happened yesterday. It was September of my first year of seminary, and we were down to the last food in our house. My student loan of $4,000 for the semester had not arrived. We had no money. We had no food. What were we thinking? Following Jesus. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I have. On Thursday night, my wife had cooked up our last pot roast, and my plans were that this roast and carrots and potatoes would last for the whole weekend at least. Maybe my student loan would come in the first of the week. I went to school on Tuesday to Friday. I drove to classes early on Tuesday morning and drove home late on Thursday night. I had a part-time job working construction Fridays and Saturdays and Mondays. I came home from working construction this particular Friday, and I found our son and his three football player buddies sitting at our kitchen table, woofing down the pot roast. I saw my wife serving these strapping young men the last of our food and telling them that they needed to be strong for their football game that night. My wife, Jacqueline, is Italian. Well, actually, she's Sicilian. She loves to feed people. I was astonished. I was at a loss for words. Jack was feeding all the food we had in the house to these four football players, except for the snacks we had in our snack drawer. As some of you know, I do really have a sweet tooth. In our home back in Illinois, we had two special drawers where we kept all the snacks. I watched as my wife served up the food to these young boys, and then I saw her starting for the snack drawer. I gotta confess, I jumped in front of the snack drawer. I asked her to go into the front room for just a minute. I looked her right in the eyes, and I quietly whispered to her, "No way. Not the ding-dongs." She looked at me, took my hand, and she asked me what was going on. I have to admit that I was acting pretty much like a baby, sharing the meat, sharing the potatoes, sharing the carrots and the bread, but share the ding-dongs? I started to get upset. And I told her that she had given away all the food that we had. What was she doing? What was she thinking? Now she wanted to give away my ding-dongs too? This was going a little too far. My wife, Jacqueline, calmed me down and told me that those boys were growing boys and that they needed the energy for the football game that night. She told me that God is able to accomplish anything if we would just trust Him. She said that she had a feeling that the rest of our lives were going to be just like this, trusting God for what we needed. And I should just start right now getting used to it. We held hands and we prayed and we went back into the kitchen. I dumped the snack drawer on the kitchen table and the boys had a field day eating the ding-dongs. The boys took off for the game. We had no clue that they had just finished off my last meal. The roast was gone, and so were the ding-dongs. David, I said to myself, where should we look to feed these football players? My wife and I went to the high school game to watch our son play football and our youngest daughter cheerlead. We lived down the street, so we walked to the game back and forth. And as we walked home, I started teasing my wife by saying, well, I think I'll go get a nice tall glass of water filled with ice because that's all we have in the house. Once we got home, I opened the freezer, and to my surprise, the freezer was completely full, and so was the refrigerator. I went into the family room and asked my wife when she had gone shopping during the game. Maybe she left me at halftime, which I knew she didn't. She looked at me as if I was crazy. I showed her the freezer. It was full of all kinds of meat, steaks, roast, chicken, hamburger. We even had a turkey in there for Thanksgiving and a ham for Christmas. I opened the fridge and it was filled with food, carrots, potatoes, celery, lettuce, apples, oranges. I looked in our pantry and all the shelves were full. Even our snack drawer had ding-dongs in them. While we were at the football game, someone had come into our home and filled our freezer, refrigerator, and pantry with food. There was even a case of Coke and a note that said, for the boys after the game. Here I was worrying about a little ding-dong when God, who is able to accomplish far more, exceedingly more, abundantly more than we can ask or imagine, while God was at work, His hands are much bigger than ours. I love to read biographies of people who have made an impact on our world, and I read a biography the other day of Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards is believed to be one of the greatest theologians America has ever produced. Jonathan lived from 1703 to 1758 and was an extremely influential in the first Great Awakening that happened in America just prior to the American Revolution. Think of this for a minute. First, there's the Great Awakening, then there's an American Revolution. I love what Edwards says about seeking God and Jesus. Listen to this. He says, the enjoyment of God is the only happiness with which our souls can be satisfied. Fathers and mothers, husbands and wives or children, or the company of the earthly friends are but a shadow, but enjoyment of God is the substance. These are but scattered beams, but God is the sun. These are but the streams, but God is the fountain. These are but the drops, but God is the ocean. After the miracle of the five loaves and the two fish, we're told that the crowd wanted to get a hold of Jesus and make Him king by force. Isn't that a profound statement? What does Jesus do? He withdraws into the mountain to be alone. He sends His disciples over to the other side of the sea. John writes that Jesus walks on water, calms the storm, and immediately thereafter the disciples arrive to their destination. It's another miracle of Jesus that we're looking at down the road. When the crowds realize that Jesus was gone to the other side of the sea, they follow him. When the crowds catch up with him, he confronts them by saying, I tell you the truth, you're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Jesus' words are words of challenge to all of us. Why do we follow Jesus? Why do we follow Jesus? Our so what question for you, for me, for us this week, how would I like to share a little bit on a personal note? One of my biggest struggles over my lifetime is trusting Jesus to provide for me financially. I know none of you have that problem, right? I wrestle many nights with God about what I'm doing. To the world and to many people, planting a church and being a pastor seems pretty risky. Once I was sharing with a man about the seed, he asked if we had any support from other churches or a big denomination, and I told him, no. His response was, isn't that pretty risky? Let me tell you how risky it has been for me. I know that many of you can relate, especially with the economy over these past few days, weeks, months, and years. When I left the church in Texas, I was making six figures, had 4 weeks of vacation, 2 weeks of study leave, but the stress of the big church was ruining my health. My doctor told me that my test showed that the stress was about to ruin my health. My doctor was a fine Jewish doctor, and he paused and he smiled and he said, David, if you want to live, you need a new job. We decided to return to California, where 10 of our 12 grandchildren were living, and about a year and a half into planting the seed, we were really struggling financially. This would have been around March of 2012, according to my journal. And on March 15th of 2012, we paid our rent. We had $2 in our checking account and $200 in our savings. On our next payday was 2 weeks away. We had groceries and gas and a roof over our heads. My wife and I started praying. I prayed together and separately about our finances and the church finances, and I was embarrassed to say this, but I even prayed this prayer, God, I actually said, God, I don't like trusting you for my money. I know. Maybe you're there. Isn't that funny? I called it my money. Well, our son kept calling and saying he just felt like God was going to provide, God was going to provide. And we had moved from different churches to this place. And during that time, a man back in Illinois offered up a check. And he said that he would give us $1,000 for every inch of snow that came. And he sent a check to the church to help the church get going. And it was a blessing. It was a blessing to us. I don't know where God's going to provide for you. I don't know how God's going to provide for you. But I know that when we read this story of the feeding of the 5,000, God knows your needs. God knows where you are. I don't know your struggles. I don't know your doubt. I don't know your fear. I know that God will provide. I have seen God provide for me over the last 25 years in my ministry. God has never failed me. He's faithful. And I'm going to tell you today that God will be faithful to provide a miracle for you. Reach out to him today in prayer and say, God, I need your help. Jesus, come into my heart. Help me today. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. Let's pray. Lord God, we just come before you, and we know that you're the bread of life. We know that you're the bread of life, and we ask now that you would come into our hearts. Lord, you distributed all the five loaves and the 12 or two fishes, and there were 12 baskets left over. Lord, let us not waste anything. We pray today for those that are in the Ukraine, and we ask that you would be with them and meet their needs. We pray for those that are homeless and meet their needs. We pray for those that are lonely and meet their needs. You're more than enough. In Jesus' name, amen. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.